Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hey, it's great to have you with us all today on this beautiful, beautiful day where, unlike Chick-fil-A, we are never closed on Sunday. So sorry, Kanye. Today, we are launching into a brand new message series called Mastermind. Over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about how we can master our thinking so that the master can change our lives. Now, if you have a desire to have incredibly fine food, you want to find yourself a master chef. If you want to learn a particular discipline in a field, you take a master class. If you want to destroy a Death Star, you need to find a master Jedi. But if you need to deal with the crazy thoughts and the games that we play sometimes in our own heads, then we need a master mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," or the master's mind. And believe me, we are going to need it. The greatest battles we will ever face in our lives take place right here, right between your eyeballs. And the things that we deal with on a daily basis, those thoughts that we think, will actually position us to win or lose at the game of life. And I'm thankful for the Bible that the Lord has given us, that it is not filled or filtered with the best stories of the most perfect people. The Scripture, the pages of Scripture, are filled with the accounts of people who didn't always have it all together. These are people who were a work in progress, just like you and I. And in an age of Insta stories and filtered photos, it's easy to fall into the trap of comparison sometimes and look at other people, look at her or him or they, and think, oh, they've got it all together. But the reality couldn't be further from the truth. These are people that are also battling through insecurity, through doubt, through fear, dealing with their thoughts. And Scripture takes us behind the curtain of some of its greatest heroes to reveal to us what this struggle actually looks like and how the people of Scripture that we now learn from and look up to, how they learn to deal with it. The Apostle Paul, in my mind, is the perfect example of someone who learned over time, and I say over time because it takes time. It's not overnight. But the Apostle Paul, over time, learned to master his mind. He learned to deal with his thoughts because he regularly struggled with his thinking. In his early writings, you'll read that he'll say things like, "Sometimes the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Somebody help me. Somebody deliver me from this crazy cycle that is in my head." Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I feel a little crazy in my mind too. And left unattended, those negative thoughts can become strongholds or mindsets in my life. Now, throughout the series, we're going to be looking at four key areas that will help us to gain a greater understanding of what we're talking about so that we can effectively master our minds, master our thoughts. So today in episode one, we're going to look at how we can renew or retrain our mind. Next week, we're going to look at the importance of identifying and overcoming strongholds in our mind. Then we'll take a closer look at how spiritual warfare plays such an important role in the success or failure of everything, absolutely everything that God has called us to do. And you look at Paul, you look at a man who learned how to battle spiritually, a man who learned how to win some fights because he lost some fights. And over time, the more fights he won in the spiritual, the more ground he gained back. And then finally, at the end of our series, we'll discover how we can experience true freedom, lasting peace. Not just peace in Christ, but lasting peace in Christ. We've all had peaceful moments. We've had days where we feel more together than other days. But God wants to give you a measure of consistency in your life so that we are not up and down like a roller coaster, but that we can maintain a level. And that's very important. So it's shaping up to be a great month in the Word of God. And speaking of the Word, pull out your Bible if you have it, whether it's the old-fashioned page-turning type or the one that's on your phone. Let's look at today the jumping point for this series that we're going to start with and kind of the focus of today's message. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at the first two verses. And it says there this. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now listen to this. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to walk in. I want to walk in the will of God for my life. Now, I've learned in my lifetime, and I'm still learning today, that my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. And so today, if you sit here hearing the word today and you want to change the direction of your life, then you need to change the way that you think. You need to retrain or renew your mind. So today I'd like to talk to you about what I've entitled Transforming Our Conforming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word of God that is so incredibly powerful. We pray that each one of us today would not only hear these words, but that we would take them to heart, that we would walk in their power, that we would truly have your mind in all the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, this man that I'm about to tell you about is considered by many to be the world's master chess player. Bobby Fischer personified the link between a genius and a madman. He went from a child prodigy to a world chess champion at the age of 29 years old, and then sadly took a nosedive into a life of delusions and paranoia. For decades, Fischer was a recluse, finally resurfacing at the end of his life in this bizarre period of time as a fugitive. It's hard to believe that somebody can take that trajectory. Now, in his later years, his extreme political and anti-Semitic views began to bubble over unfiltered, even though his own mother was Jewish. And so some have said that the line between genius and madman is a very thin one. But when Fischer died at the age of 64 as a self-imposed exile in Iceland, he seemed to finally cross over that line. Now, interestingly enough, he lived 1 year on Earth for every 64 squares of the chessboard. He was obsessed with that number. He thought about the number 64 all the time. He went to bed with it. He woke up with it. He looked at that board, and it was engraved in his mind. He couldn't let go of it. And his story today serves as kind of a cautionary tale of someone who managed to master one part of his life but lose control of the rest. And in the end, his tormented thoughts and his related behavior sadly overshadowed his brilliance and all his accomplishments. In Time Magazine, a Time Magazine profile called One Track Mastermind, the writer said this. He said, "Bobby hasn't the slightest flicker of doubt about who he is or what he wants to do. In an age that idolizes well-roundedness, he has one single aim." And he said this, "All I want to do ever is to play chess." So how is it possible for someone so focused, someone so talented, who is literally a mastermind in his chosen field, also be so messed up in his thinking? See, it still surprises me today that society reels when they hear the news of another celebrity, another politician, another respected leader who's fallen from grace because of a series of bad decisions made behind the scenes, only to later discover that those individuals were tormented in their thinking, that they were struggling silently with the thoughts that they had to grapple with in their lives. And so it amazes me that so many people look at people with such great talent and focus And they think that they should likely, that should apply to every other part of their life. And yet some of them end their race in almost a self-destructive way. So when you look at this, when you look at these people, many of them seem to have the world by the tail. Many of them seem to have it all together, as we talked about earlier. But they struggle truly with the same mind games that you and I deal with on a daily basis. But if we don't deal with those thoughts, if we don't ensure that they are purged from our minds, then they get hung up and they start to gather momentum and they gather strength, leading to something that is not productive. So it's not enough to be incredibly disciplined in one area of your life and assume that somehow it will just carry over into all the other areas of your life. If those negative and destructive thoughts are left unchecked, it literally can affect and alter the trajectory of where you're headed. As we begin to conform to the patterns of the world that we live in, and we all live in the same world, we hear the same arguments, we hear the same philosophies, and we're all influenced by those things. And sometimes we begin acting and behaving according to these cultural beliefs instead of building on the spiritual foundations in Christ that produce a life of transformation. That's the only way transformation will happen. And so when we operate with the mind of Christ or with the Master's mind, it influences every aspect of our thinking, allowing us to begin to retrain and renew our thinking. And as we change our thinking with His strength and His power, we can literally see our lives changed. We try so many different ways to achieve that, avoiding sometimes the true way that God has designed for it to happen. God wants us to break free from the mind games, from that cycle that sometimes is like a washing machine being spun around and around and around again. Having the Master's mind allows us to master our own minds and be transformed into His image. We live in a culture where we become easily swayed by the thinking of this world. And often whoever has that best argument in the moments that we engage with people sometimes seems to win. And yet it's not supposed to be that way. As we deeply root ourselves in Christ, we build truly, or at least we should build, on an unshakable foundation. But this takes time. It takes practice. You need to give yourself a break sometimes. Often we become very frustrated with ourselves, with our lack of progress, and so it drives us further down. But it does take time. But the idea of being transformed is actually fascinating. To be changed into someone who is not necessarily a completely different version of who you are, but the very best version of who you are. The way that God has intended for you to be. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So we need to be on guard against conforming or being molded and shaped to the pattern of the world instead of, as Romans 12:2 says, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So each day as we're led by the Holy Spirit, and it is a daily thing, every single day we need to listen to His voice. And as He leads us, we are transforming our conforming. We're changing our nature. And we're developing a lifestyle of more of Him and less of us. True transformation comes by being in the Word of God. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Another translation says it this way in Romans 12. It says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." You see, when we renew our mind, we change our thoughts. And when we change our thoughts, God can literally mold us into new people. As Proverbs 23 says to us, it talks to us about our thoughts determining who we are. And it says this, "For as he thinks within, so he is." So as he thinks, so he is. And sometimes people say to me, "What am I supposed to be thinking about? Like, I need to know how to direct my thinking." Well, Philippians 4:8 gives us a guide to the things that we need to focus on, the things that we need to fill our minds with. Because truthfully, we give ourselves a steady diet of all kinds of trash, sometimes to take away the sting of the thoughts that we're trying to deal with. We try to entertain away the thoughts. But in doing so, we add more pollution to the well of our spirit, where now the water that used to taste so clean and pure is bitter when we pull it back. Proverbs 23:7 gives us that picture that our thinking actually affects the way that we are. And Philippians 4:8 gives us that focus. It says, so keep your thoughts continually fixed. That doesn't just mean on Sunday. That doesn't just mean one day of the week. It doesn't even mean just in the morning. Continually fixed on all the things that are authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Now listen to this. I love this the way this is worded. And fasten your thoughts. That's speaking about that intentionality. Fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. So how is it possible to focus on the truth of Philippians 4:8 unless we renew our mind with the word of God? It's not. You can't just be a genius in one area of your life and think that you've got it all together and the rest, it doesn't work that way. When your mind is renewed, when you have the master's mind at work within your life, it literally affects every single thing that you do. And so we need to find that balance. The balance, as I said, between how we entertain our thoughts to try to find some peace and how we spend time in God's word. A renewed mind is the key to a transformed life. It's the key to walking in victory. Not in a life of perfection. Because I think sometimes the expectation of people, even some of our heroes, is that they live a flawless life. That's not true. It's not even true of the greatest heroes of the Bible. These are not people who had it all together to the place of perfection. These are people who were committed to the process, committed to allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in their life, daily renewing their mind. Because there's times in our life when we need to do an inventory. And so people have asked me before, when do I know if my mind is renewed? Well, I'd say this. If you ever have the slightest feeling of defeat or doubt, or your actions or your words or your thoughts don't reflect this scripture in Philippians 4:8, then it's still time to renew your mind. Now you could say to me, well, that seems like all the time. Exactly. The process of sanctification is not an overnight process. It's a lifetime commitment to constantly dealing with God's power with the thoughts that run through your mind. Many people believe that once my life is finally transformed, then my mind will then be renewed. When in fact, it's actually the other way around. When you and I were born, most of us came out of the womb into this world head first, most of us. And if you want to come out of the mind games that we constantly battle in our thinking, that limit our progress, that derail our growth, then your head has to come out first. Your thinking has to be delivered from the way that you used to think. When your mind is changed, your life will be transformed. Remember, where your mind goes, your life follows behind. So let me give you four steps to renewing our mind and transforming our conforming. First step is to choose your thoughts. It's pretty clear that God expects you and I to choose our thoughts every single day. Not to let your thoughts be chosen for you by your circumstance. Oftentimes we go into our day and we roll into scenarios that are problematic, that are stressful, where an offense is a possibility, and our thoughts are dictated by everything we run into. Like a pinball in an old pinball machine. Everything it bounces off of, we allow that to dictate the way that we think. When Philippians 4:8 says to think on these things, to actually choose your thoughts. Our minds are not a playground. They are indeed a battlefield, and we need to treat them as such. Listen, your mind is a servant to your spirit or to your flesh. Whichever dog you feed the most has the louder bark in your life. You feed the wrong dog, you get the wrong results. When the spirit is weak, the mind runs errands for the flesh by thinking negative thoughts, constantly thinking those thoughts. We are left with the choice to think on the God things in our daily walk or all the other things that we just automatically flow into with life as it comes. And it'll just keep coming. Every single day, there'll be philosophies and thoughts and opinions of other people. If you are not choosing the thoughts you think, some of those things can get hung up in your thinking. And they become a stronghold, which we're going to touch on and look at next week. And so when we constantly build up our spirit, when we're spending time in the Word of God, when we're spending time communing with the Holy Spirit, our mind comes under the influence of His Word and the Holy Spirit who lives in our lives. And so our minds are renewed. And because our minds are renewed, our lives are transformed. The second step, we need to confess what you believe. Confess what you believe, not what you feel. We possess our salvation by confessing that Jesus is Lord. We speak it out in our lives. We possess God's promises by confessing them. And when you regularly speak, and I know people that do, when you regularly speak only what you see and feel, and you sound after a while like a broken record, you're actually harming your faith. You're harming your own spirit and not helping those negative thoughts get cleared up and move on. And so be careful what you rehearse over and over again. When an actor or an actress prepares for a production, they spend a lot of time studying their script, but they don't just deal with that script with an internal monologue. At some point, they need to stand on a stage, they need to verbalize it, they need to project their voice, they need to articulate their words. They need to hear themselves saying it so that they actually can buy into and believe that they are that particular character. You need to hear yourself speaking the Word of God. Don't just think it, speak it with your mouth. Don't use your mouth as a thermometer which only reads the temperature of your current condition. Allow God's word to turn your mouth into a thermostat which changes the temperature of your life by speaking what God says. That's what Jesus did. You remember in the wilderness as he's dealing with the devil? Most likely the devil tempted Jesus as he usually tempts us through our thinking. But Jesus didn't just respond in his mind. He spoke the words of God. Fill your mouth with the word of God. Fill it full of faith because suddenly the unbelief begins to change. Suddenly you're believing God for the healing that you need in your life instead of rehearsing what you hear the doctor say. Anybody that's fighting for their life will know that they need to continually speak the words. Over the years, I've battled and haven't dealt with for a long time kidney stones, horrible pain. But there were times that the only way I could navigate the pain was to literally speak the word of God aloud until I navigated my way through it, to believe that those things would break up and dissolve and disappear. It's the most horrible pain on the planet. And yet it's the word of God that is the primary source of my hope and my medicine, because I know that it's a long-term solution that I need. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Speak the truth. Speak it. And when you do, that truth will truly set you free. The third step, resist and assist. Resist and assist. Resist the negative thoughts and assist the positive thoughts. Listen, positive thoughts are not going to stay. They need to be assisted. And negative thoughts are not going to leave. They need to be resisted. We must assist the Word of God by making room for it in our hearts and resist the evil thoughts of the enemy by taking them captive and submitting them to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish, I love that word, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. The Bible, interestingly enough, describes our thoughts kind of like a ship that's looking for a harbor. Now, you can't control good ships and bad ships from sailing the ocean. It's just going to keep going back and forth. But you, as an individual, can refuse them docking privileges in the harbor of your mind. These things are constantly going in our lives, whether it's a temptation or a negative thought. And they will keep going. So when they do, just let them continue on. But you can resist those thoughts from taking a hold in your thinking. Negative thoughts come, but we don't have to let them stay if we speak against them with the truth of God's word. Literally, you need to speak it like you're taking medicine out of a bottle. You've got to, there's been times when I'm, if there's a season that I'm going through something in particular, I'll put them right up in front of me. I'll put them on my desk. I'll put them on my phone so that I'm reminded of them. I keep it before me all the time. And then finally, a very important step that we should never, ever forget is the last one, number four, celebrate the process. It's going to take time to see changes in your mind, so you need to celebrate the victories that you reach all along the way. You know, I think there's a reason why God took 6 days to create the world instead of just one. He's God, right? Could have snapped his fingers. The whole thing could have been done in the snap of his hand. But why did he take 6 days? Why did he take 6 days and took a day to rest? Why didn't he just get it over with? See, I believe that he wanted to show every one of us how to go through the process of change. He wanted us to understand what it looked like. Each day, something great was done, and God would end that day by celebrating what was done instead of complaining about, day one, I still got 5 days of this to go. Like, this is a lot of work. I got to do trees. I got to do those fish. Like, there's so many colors, and how am I going to figure that out? How are they going to breathe underwater? I got to get my head around that. God wasn't stressing out about the details. He dealt with day one, and then at the end of that day, he celebrated day one. On the third day, when there was still so much more to do, what did the Bible say? The Bible says God saw that it was good. Do you ever do something and think, that's a good job, right? When I was down east, I spent some time with my folks, and my mother had bought an IKEA shelf. How many know the dreaded IKEA parts? The little Allen key and a trillion bolts and things and caps. And I saw it sitting there, and I said, Mom, why don't I just take the day, and you and I, we'll just build that thing. And she said, oh, that would be so great that I wouldn't have to do that. So it took hours to put this crazy shelf together. But you know what? At the end of it, when we finally got it up in the corner, she had a little candle on it, put it on there, put some of the things that she wanted on there. I'd sit there at the end of the day, and I'm like, that looks good. It's a good job. You did a good job. And it wasn't just once. I'd step out of the room and come back in and go, still looks good. Still looks really good. Celebrate the things God has done in your life and allow it to be fuel for the hope that God has put within you to see transformation. Celebrate the process. God didn't look at all the things he still had to do, that long, long list, and be overwhelmed by it. He celebrated those wins. Renewing of our minds, transforming our conforming, happens when we celebrate the small victories along the way and focus on what God is doing. Don't focus on what he's not doing. God's timing is different than yours. And so sometimes we look at it and we're like, oh God, why aren't you doing this? I've been praying this prayer for a year, for 2 years. I still don't see any change. Stay faithful. Put it in his hands. Trust him for the best in your life. The truth is, sometimes there's things that we pray for that are not the best for our lives. And yet we want them anyways. And we try to push it through. We wonder why he's not making it happen. And yet God knows you better than you know yourself. And so he's trying to align your thinking. He's trying to transform you into the person that can handle what stage four looks like when you're still dealing with stage three. Try to deal with one step at a time. You can't jump from step three to step 10 without doing the work in between. The process is something we need to celebrate. Here's a scripture you'll be familiar with from our last series, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You are complete in God. Be the best version of you that the world has ever seen. He's not done with you yet. You're still being built. God is still working within you. Give yourself a break. Be patient with the process and know that as you change the way you think, God will transform who you are to reflect his image and not our own. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word of God that truly transforms us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the commitment each one of us have to stay true to what you've begun within our lives, to see it through to its completion, to reflect your image in our families, in our relationships, in the world that we live. God, we need desperately the master's mind to bring about the change that we need within us. We know that those thoughts will dictate where we're headed. So we pray that our thoughts would be thoughts we choose, thoughts that focus on you and the good things that you're doing within us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.